Mr. Amory, would you tell us exactly, in your words, the incident, what happened to you in Saudi Arabia? Well, I think in this brief period, I cannot get into the details of my abduction. I would like to postpone it until I have safely arrived on Iranian soil, so I can speak with absolute freedom with the press and the Iranian nation and tell them everything that has happened in the past 14 months, things that I've been through, many things that have puzzled many, and the accusations against me by Western media, particularly the United States government, the accusations against me and my image and my reputation. I would like to talk about all of that in detail in Iran and make everything absolutely clear. But I think, given that I am in the intersection of the Iranian Islamic Republic of Iran here, I would like to tell you everything about how I got here, very briefly. In fact, when I escaped from the U.S. agents' hands, and the Iranians caught the first sight of the video that I made on YouTube, in which I explain clearly what had happened. Afterwards, I was captured again by the U.S. intelligence agents in Virginia. When the American agents realized that I had posted a video like that, and that it would be broadcast any minute on YouTube or on Iranian television, they decided to make another video of me in which I would say that I was going back to Iran. Interestingly, what happened was that my own video came after the American version of the video in which I say that I was going back to Iran. As I said earlier, in the American version of the video, I was saying that I was going back to Iran, that it was an agreement between me and the U.S. government. While I had said everything in my own version of the video that my safety, the U.S. was the government was responsible for my safety, and whatever happened to me, the U.S. government would have to respond to the public opinion, or at least to its own people. Given that, they agreed, and they formally told me that they were going to resolve the issue altogether, and that they were prepared to return me to Iran, but that they would only do it their own way. And because I wasn't in a position to make the decision, the final decision, I waited until I found to find out what they were going to do. Unfortunately, within a month, my impression of what they were going to do about my return to Iran, that I thought they were killing time. And every time they would come up with a pretext to postpone my return to Iran. The last time I talked to the American government, and they claimed that they had talked, that they had prepared my ticket, my return ticket, to Iran through the UAE, that I would arrive in Dubai and then go to Iran. They said that the UAE's government, after seeing my name on the flight list, disagreed with my going to Dubai, that they wouldn't allow me to go back to Iran through the UAE's airspace. Afterwards, the Americans told me that they couldn't force the UAE's government to accept you to go there and move on to Iran, and said that instead they would talk to the UK government because they have very good ties with the British, and that definitely they would be able to send me back home through the UK soil. But again, unfortunately, A couple of hours before my flight, I was told that the UK government had disagreed with my trip back to Iran through London. And they said, of course, that they would only do it if I did an interview with the UK embassy, and that that would be my return ticket to Iran. I disagreed vehemently and said that as an Iranian, and because, as I said right at the outset, I think it's my right that I would want to do everything through Iran's interest section, the country that has given me my identities, my IDs, and has legal sovereignty over me. I would like to go back to Iran that way. My understanding was that the American officials were unable to make the right decision at the time, and that they were going to use my abduction saga for political gains, but they did not achieve their desired results. And that, of course, had caused them some problems. And the video that I made of my abduction had shifted the public opinion against them. And so the American government officials never gave the world a cogent explanation on my abduction. Whereas the Iranian government clearly and formally lodged a complaint on my behalf to international bodies and followed up on the story until the last day. But the American government failed to even confirm my presence on its soil, which raises the question, how come they want to return me to Iran, but they declined to confirm my presence on their soil? That's a question that I think your viewers who have been following up this issue have had in their mind. All the viewers of the Iranian News Network don't know exactly what went on. Well, we have been following the story after you were abducted in Saudi Arabia. Take us back to when you were abducted. I don't want you to go into detail. Tell us how you were abducted and how you were taken here. In fact, I would like to briefly explain what happened when I arrived in Medina. This is what happened. When I arrived there, arrived in Jeddah Airport, I was stopped and questioned by the Saudi security agents. It's a very unusual thing for them to do. Yeah, they asked me about my job. They asked me for other information, detailed information about me. I was the only person that was grilled like that, which raised my friends and other companions' interest in what happened. So I was curious to know why it happened, so I talked to my roommate and other pilgrims accompanying me to Saudi Arabia. Thank you.